Matthew 21, Matthew chapter 21, we're going to continue the subject of prayer tonight. As I was approaching this, I thought, you know, I don't want to preach to you tonight. I don't want to preach at you tonight. Okay? I want to share with you tonight my vision of prayer. And the needs that we have, the need that we have in this church for prayer. And so, with that in mind, would you stand with me? We're going to read Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12 through 14. It says, Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask you now to reveal yourself, your word to us tonight. That, Lord, you'll give us hearts to receive and hearts to respond. Father, teach us how to pray. Strengthen our prayer lives that we may be a church that values and exercises the privilege of prayer continuously. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we talked about the first message on prayer, and we talked about what it takes to have a successful prayer life. And just to rehash that for just one second, it was based on John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Successful prayer life will not be experienced if you're not abiding. Okay? A continual daily walk with Jesus is the first requirement. Now tonight, we're going to look at the house of God. Okay, and we're going to start with the temple that was corrupted in Jesus' day. The temple was filled with people who were very, very religious in that day. They were filled with Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes, and priests, and every other kind of religious individual, even individuals who seriously or very sincerely came to the temple to offer sacrifice and worship. All very sincere in the religious system that had been built in that day. But as Jesus enters the temple, he makes an important discovery. And that discovery is that they had completely changed the character of the house of God. It did not even resemble what it should have been. It was intended to be a place of prayer, and it had become a place of corrupt commercialism, right? For a worshiper, if you were a worshiper going into the temple at that particular time, you were going to offer sacrifice as a part of your worship. Now, to offer sacrifice, the first thing you would have to do is you would have to exchange your money. The circulated money that you use day after day after day, right? And you'd have to exchange that money for temple currency. And that just happened to have tables set up for that very thing. They would exchange your money, Roman money or whatever, and they would exchange it for the temple currency of that day for a small fee. Let me rephrase that. It wasn't a small fee. It was a terribly large fee. Okay? That was your first requirement. You go to that table and you get your money exchanged into temple currency. It cost you. Then you would go to another place, another part of the temple there, where they sold animals that were bred and there for sacrifice. Now, they were glad to sell you that animal, but that animal was also at very inflated prices. And you would say, well, you know, I'll bring my own for sacrifice. It wouldn't work. The reason it wouldn't work is because they were the ones that approved the animals to be used for sacrifice. And you could bring your own animal, but I promise you they would have found a blemish in that animal that would have made that not acceptable for sacrifice. and worship in that day. So they had the market cornered. The only place you could exchange your money for temple money, because they were the only ones that had temple money. It was the only place to obtain an acceptable sacrifice, because they were the ones that approved what was acceptable and not acceptable. And so Jesus comes in to that site. They're doing business. They're fleecing the people who've come to worship. And He, in His righteous anger, and He was angry. He, in His righteous anger, turns over the tables of the money changers. You got to get this in your mind. He was not nice about it. Okay? He walks in there and literally flips the table of the money changers. And the money, temple currency as well as the money they were exchanging, goes everywhere. Then He turns and He makes a whip of cords and He drives those who were selling animals out of the temple. And He quotes two Old Testament scriptures. Number one is Isaiah 56:7, which says, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the people." And then Jeremiah 7:11, "Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord." What was intended to be a house of prayer had become a den of robbers or a den of thieves. And that word den, it's a hideout. So He's saying this: the temple had become a hideout, a cover-up for thieves. Now, how do we apply that to where we are today? Okay, I'm not suggesting that the church is a den or a hideout of thieves, but there is application. And I want to start by understanding what a church building is. Okay? We know that this building is not the temple of God. It is a building that has been built and dedicated to the Lord, but it is not the temple of God. And if it were the temple of God, it would suggest that God dwells in these walls, and He does not. Okay? But we also know that in the New Testament, our body is the temple of God, right? We're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own?" Do you understand how much better we have it than they had it in the days that they had this temple that they had to go offer sacrifices, and those sacrifices had to be approved and bought from the people of the temple? Today, the Holy Spirit of God literally, and understand this, literally, if you are a believer, lives in you. And we like to think, when we come into this setting, into this building, you know, we like to think we need to be respectful. We need to be God-honoring when we're in here. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not suggesting that we should not be. But do you understand that if your body is the temple of God, your daily life should be a life that honors God in every way? You know, because it's not like you walk in and God is here. No, God is with you. When you leave here, God is in you. When you go to work tomorrow, God is in you. When you go home tomorrow night, God is in you. What a wonderful thought that at any point you can talk to God and God can share that fellowship with you. You don't have to go into some building, and you certainly don't have to have the approval of some preacher somewhere, because God is living in you. But we also know that as the church, and we probably don't think about this one, as the church, we are the temple of God. Now, I'm not speaking speaking of this building, I'm talking about the people, the church. Okay? See, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And the first thing you have to understand about that scripture is the you. The you there is plural. He's not talking to an individual. He's talking to the church at Corinth, those believers who were part of that church at Corinth. And so what do we get? What does that mean? When we come together, okay? When we come together in church capacity, there is a special presence of God that we will find nowhere else. Okay? And it's not that, you know, I can walk in, I've shared this with you before, I can walk in here anytime during the week when y'all aren't here, and it's not the same. But when I come in here and y'all are here, I just know God's here. There is a presence of God when believers meet like this. And it's not the building. It would be true if we were meeting out at the lake or anywhere outside. We would have that same presence. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," what? "I'm there in their midst. I'm there also." That's what, you know, and I never understand those people that say, "Well, you know, you don't have to go to church to be saved." And that's true. Church doesn't save you. But listen, you should love to go to church and be among God's people. I don't understand not wanting to do that. And I understand there are times people get hurt in church, but you know, that's okay. We're people, right? There are times that people get upset at work, but you don't quit your job, do you, right? When we come together, we receive something that we can't get anywhere else, and that is that special presence of God. So as we're here tonight, we're in this capacity, I want you to understand, and I want you to stop and realize God's here. And He's here to be personal. He's here to fellowship and commune with everyone that is present here tonight. Which brings us to point number two. Jesus said, "My house," that word house is, it's oikos in the Greek, it's home, it's a place of dwelling. "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Now here's where it gets interesting, okay? That word "called," it means to be designated. It means, you know, we have designated this building as being dedicated to God, right? But this is not God's house. This is God's house. This is God's house in the inside of the believers that are here tonight. And God's house is to be designated as what? As a house of prayer. So if you say tonight, "My prayer life, you know, my prayer life's not good," listen, you got a problem. If God's living there, your prayer life shouldn't just be good, it should be wonderful. That daily communion and fellowship with God. But that word "call" also has a second definition I want to give you. Okay? It means not only to be designated something, it means to summons or invite. So when it says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," it means that God's house is not only to be designated as a house of prayer, but it's also an invitation to prayer. When we meet like this, and we are experiencing that special presence of God that you can get nowhere else, you know what God's looking for? He's looking for prayer. He's inviting you to prayer. We're designated as being a place of prayer. Listen, we come to worship, and I say this because I'm guilty, okay? We come to worship and we wait for Brother Dale to lead us in these wonderful praise songs that honors God. That's great. That's great. But I'm not here to sing. I'm not telling you don't sing, okay? No, I'm not saying don't sing. We want to sing. We want to worship God. And you come here and we come to hear a message, and hopefully I attempt to preach a message that's going to help you with your walk with God, and that's wonderful. But tonight I want to tell you, don't come for the music. Don't come for the preaching. Come for fellowship and communion with God. You and God. Is worship and singing important? Yes. Is preaching important? Yes. But even more important is your personal relationship with God. That's the idea of prayer. Don't come for preaching. Don't come for singing. Come for prayer. If you desire to leave here today, next week, whenever you come, if you desire to leave here knowing that you have had communion and fellowship with God, you have to make prayer your goal. Otherwise, you'll walk out saying, well, that was a good message, or that wasn't such a hot message, or I enjoyed the singing, or I didn't enjoy the singing. That's not what we're here for. We're here to interact with God, and you will only do that. I will only do that if prayer becomes a central theme and a central focus for our presence here tonight. We wonder why we don't see the power of God. Yeah, and churches, you know, and honestly, that's why many churches have become just an entertainment. Let's get up and let's have some really good singing, and let's have some really good preaching that encourages people, pats them on the back, and send them off and hopefully they have a good week. No, it's supposed to be more than that. I want to see the power of God. Amen. When I leave here, I want to know that I have interacted. I have had fellowship with God among God's people. And if you want that, it's going to require prayer. Yet, very few people anymore in any church anywhere come forward for prayer. Very few. And you see, I believe that's something that if a church is going to grow, it's got to be rooted in prayer. If you're going to have fellowship with God, we've got to be rooted in prayer. And you say, well, Brother Doug, I don't have to come to the altar to pray. I can do that where I can. But why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you come? Are you ashamed? I'm not accusing. I'm speaking to you. Okay? But are you ashamed? Well, everybody's watching me. It's not between you and everybody else. It's between you and God. Are you afraid somebody might think you've sinned and done something wrong, so you're coming down to the altar to get it right with God? I'll tell you something. Let me take your doubt away. You did sin last week. None of us has the ability to go through a whole week without messing up somewhere. You see, that's an excuse. And I've got enough confidence in Victory Missionary Baptist Church to believe that nobody's going to judge anybody because they came to the altar to pray. The real reason that I believe you don't see people coming forward for prayer, that I believe that God's house has not been designated as a house of prayer, the real reason, I think, can be found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Church at Ephesus. You know what Jesus said to that church? You, I have this against you, that you have left what? Your first love. You talk to those you love. I talk to those I love. I talk to Beth because I love her. I talk to you week in and week out because I love you. You see, when you're silent, that is a sign of indifference. That's a sign of a lack of love. But when you truly love, there's communication. And that's what we've got to get back to, that communion and fellowship with God. And that communion and fellowship with God is not based on what I preach. It's not based on what Dale sings. It's based on your love for God. And so the challenge tonight is this. Instead of coming to church, come with a purpose. And let that purpose be prayer and fellowship with God. You see, you can't fellowship with God if you don't talk to Him. So I'm going to ask this of the church this month. This is the month of November, right? Thanksgiving month. I'm going to ask, and I know there are people here tonight. You cannot come to the front of the church and get on your knees. I know that. And I don't expect that of you. But if you're able, I want to ask you to do this thing. I want to ask you that every service for the rest of the month of November, Sunday morning and Sunday night, when we close out a service, that you come to the front and pray. Talk to God. If you can't kneel down and you want to come to the front, come sit on the front pew. If you have trouble getting down here, that's okay. Pray where you are. That's if you can't, okay? Don't use it as an excuse. I ask that every service, you say, Brother Doug, why did you preach this morning? Because the night people are the ones that'll do it. Okay? The night people are the ones that'll do it. I ask you that every service, let's make a prayer service. You say, Brother Doug, what do we pray about? Well, I'm glad you ask. Okay? I want to give you what to pray about tonight. And make this a part of every prayer that you pray for the month of November. As I said, we know this month is Thanksgiving, right? Let's start with praise. Tonight I want to encourage you, don't ask for anything. See, I don't know if you're about like me, but I do ask for quite a lot. Sometimes I let the praise go. Victory Missionary Baptist Church has a lot to be thankful for. God has sustained this church for how many years? 30. We're crowding 40. Right? And we're here by the grace of God. She's had some good pastors, but it's not been the pastors that have sustained her. She's had some wonderful men of music, but it's not been the men of music. It's not been the deacons. It's been God. We're here today because of God. Let's praise Him. Let's thank Him. And let's get personal. Listen, if you got a family, you have a family because of God. If you're saved, you're saved because of Jesus Christ, and God gave His only Son, Jesus, to die for your sins. If you're here, you're here by the grace of God. You see, when we start counting our blessings, here's what's going to happen. We're going to be more joyful in the Lord. Okay? Because every good gift, according to the Bible, every good gift comes from where? From above. Okay? So I think the most wonderful place to start is with praise. Okay? Now tonight, we're going to do things differently. We're not going to have an invitation. We're not going to have any music. We're going to close out with prayer. And I'm going to invite you, okay, to join me. There's not a specific time. You just take as long as you want to take. Okay? And do not forget, next Sunday morning, join me down here. Next Sunday night, join me down here. And the Sunday after that, join me down here. Okay? Let's make November the month of prayer, and let's make November the month of Thanksgiving. We're starting with Thanksgiving tonight. We'll expand our prayers next week, okay? But let's start. God is good. Let's praise Him. And then after you finish praying, you'll be dismissed.